every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. Father, we pray now that you'll bless us in your word. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, strength and redeemer, have your way. May your word go forth and find fertile ground in the hearts and minds of your people, that we would be more than just hearers of your word, that we would be doers as well. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the prized possessions for many families was the family Bible. I know for some of you that sounds like ancient history. It was a day and time when most households had a Bible and many individuals would have a Bible. But the truth of the matter is there are many of you in here who have never touched the Bible, thanks to your online Bible and what's on your phone. That family Bible was very important to those families because that family Bible was a kind of archive of family history. Many of those Bibles contained in them the births and deaths of family members, presented and preserved a family tree and genealogy. But today, sad fact is many people don't have Bibles, and some people have never even seen a Bible. Now, my brothers and sisters, that might sound strange to you, but I've got an even more challenging word for you. Because while there are many people who have never seen or touched an actual Bible in their hands, there are many who won't see a Bible come alive until they see it in your life. See, all of you, whether you realize it or not, preach a sermon every day of your life. Long before somebody comes to church on Sunday to hear the pastor preach, they watch you preach. Every day of your life, long before they hear your testimony, they watch your temper. Long before they hear your beliefs, they watch your behavior. Long before they hear your words, they watch your walk. And they're watching you, not just to hear what you're saying, but more importantly, to see how you're living. Today, as we continue our look at the season to serve, I want to challenge you on what it means to actually be the kind of Christian God wants you to be so people can see the kind of love they desperately need. Today, for a few moments, I want to talk to you from the thought how to live your life to show God's love. How to live your life to show God's love. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. For those of you who are watching, wherever you are, you can download a copy of it by going to our church app or going to our website at goodhope.org. The context of our message is found in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7 is called the Sermon on the Mount. It's the longest recorded sermon of Jesus in the New Testament. And what's interesting is he begins in Matthew chapter 5 verse 1 talking primarily to his disciples, but crowds begin to come in and crowd in as he continues to teach and to preach. Religiously, Israel was in a very difficult place. The Pharisees had become masters of external religion. They would say one thing and live another. They emphasized outward obedience without fully embracing inward transformation. And it's in that environment that Jesus introduces something radically different. He does not describe here superficial religion. He describes the transformation of a person's life. He talks about being the poor in spirit and the blessings of being the merciful and the pure in heart and peacemakers. But when he gets to verse 13, he makes a shift. He makes a shift from who you are to be on the inside to what people should see on the outside. He helps us understand that we have a responsibility, listen carefully, to not just focus on how we are blessed in church and how we are blessed by God, but how we are to be a blessing outside of the sanctuary and how we are to be a blessing to other people. So here's the question for you today. How can you live your life in such a way that people see Jesus before they ever hear you talk about him? How can you live in such a way that if the district attorney was gathering evidence to charge you with being a Christian, how can you live in a way that they would not dismiss the charges for a lack of evidence? Four things I want you to see today around this idea of living your life to show God's love. Here's the first one. Number one, you must know your identity. You must know your identity. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 13, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden." Before Jesus gives any commands, he gives them an identity. Why? Because we will do who we are. Typically, we get into trouble and have internal conflict when we try to be something on the outside that we're really not on the inside. So Jesus says, now I need you all to understand, once we've established who you are to be on the inside, this is what I expect from you on the outside. He says, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. Jesus doesn't say you should become or you will become, or when you grow spiritually enough, you can fulfill this assignment. He says, no, this is who you are. Present tense, right now, you've accepted Christ as your Savior, and he says, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. This is a statement of identity. Know who you are. See, Christianity is never behavior before identity. Identity should produce behavior. When you know who you are, it should affect how you live. And there are many of us who are ignorant of who we are in Christ, which is why we're challenged to live for Christ. It's hard to get somebody to do what they should do when they don't know who they are and what they're supposed to do based on who they are. Watch Jesus. He uses two very familiar instruments, very familiar objects to a first century Palestinian. Salt and light. Salt for many was more valuable than gold because salt had multiple uses that would keep a home sustained. Light, without it, it was in darkness. And you got to remember, this is not a place, this is not a part of the world where they had street lights and they had outside lights. You know, I can remember growing up in New York City, and when there was a power outage or maybe somebody didn't pay their electric bill, they can get a little light from the hallway, right? Open up the door or maybe go outside and you had some street lights. But we're talking about a place where it was country dark. You know what country dark is? Country dark is when they have no lights down the road. And if the moon is not reflecting the sun and the stars are not shining, you can't see the hand in front of your face. Jesus says, you are the salt and you are the light. Here's what he wants us to understand. You, as a child of God, are not called to enjoy God's blessings only. You are called to extend God's blessings. We're not merely saved from the world. We are sent into the world. We're not merely recipients of God's grace. We are to be distributors of God's grace. If I am who I am by the grace of God, then why would I condemn somebody else for not being the best they can when I'm still a work in process? Here's the second thing I want you to see. Not only must you know your identity, but you must be distinct. You must be distinct. You are the salt of the earth, verse 13 says, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. Jesus says, be distinct, be different. Now, here's the problem for some of us. We try to be different in a way that draws attention to ourselves. Jesus says, if you just be who I created you to be, you will be different in a way that brings glory to me. Sometimes you'll hear people say, if you want to be noticed, be different. And for them, different is weird. Different is strange. But if you just be who Christ has created you to be, see, the difference that God wants you to be is not rooted in personality. It's not rooted in culture. It's not rooted in politics. It's rooted in the transforming work of Jesus Christ. He says, be distinct. You are the salt of the earth. Let me give you three characteristics of salt, and you can see how they tie into who you need to be as a child of God. A, salt preserves. Salt preserves. We're talking about a day and time without refrigeration. Meat would quickly spoil. And salt slowed the process of decay. Our culture, we have a long history of salty foods. And part of that was because salt was needed to preserve food. I can remember growing up in my middle school and high school years on a farm in South Jersey. And we would have slaughtering days when you would killing hogs, for example, and you would have more meat than you had space in the freezer or the refrigerator, and we would put salt on the meat to preserve it, and then watch this, we would inject salt water into it, and then we would put pepper on it. Now you say, why put pepper on it? Salt kept it from going bad, and pepper kept the flies off of it. He says, when you are the salt of the earth, corruption is restrained. Justice is promoted. Compassion grows. Families become stronger. Communities become healthier. Our presence makes society better. Shame on us. And I'm not talking about on us personally. Shame on the body of Christ. When there are so many people who say they love Jesus and can be so mean. Who say they love Jesus and they can have such hatred and malice in their hearts. Because that's not the Jesus that the Bible talks about. And that's not the Jesus that we claim as our Savior. B, salt adds flavor. Salt adds flavor. Food without salt is considered bland. Likewise, the world without Christianity and Christians doesn't know what true joy is. The world can experience happiness, but they can't experience joy. Happiness is based on what's happening. And when nothing is happening, you can't be happy. But when you have joy, joy is independent of your circumstances. It's rooted in who you are in Christ, not what's going on around you. Salt adds flavor. You know, my wife and I, we love to watch cooking shows. And whenever we watch a cooking show, it's amazing how judges feel when there's not enough salt in the food. It's almost like a personal insult. Like, you can overcook something. It can be undercooked. It can be seasoned well, underseasoned. But man, the greatest indictment is when they are judging somebody's food and they said, it needs more salt. There was one guy, man, he considered himself like the pasta king. And man, he made this pasta and he had this crazy sauce that he put on. And he just knew it was going to kill. And one of the judges looked at him and said, I can't believe you, of all people, were served pasta and didn't put salt in the water when you cooked it. He just dropped his head. Right? Listen, does God have to drop his head when he looks at your life and sees that you don't add value and purpose to people's lives? And you don't add something positive to wherever you go. Look at C. Salt represents purity. In Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13, every grain offering was required to be seasoned with salt. Salt symbolized covenant faithfulness and purity before God. Not perfection, but an unmistakable devotion to God. He says, and what good is salt when it loses its flavor? Now, for those of you who remember your periodic table, salt is a compound, sodium chloride. And when sodium chloride gets wet, it doesn't lose its chemical makeup. But here's what happens. Salt that was used in the first century came from deposits around the Dead Sea. If you've ever been to Israel, if you ever get a chance to go to the Dead Sea, it's an amazing place because the Dead Sea, it's impossible to sink. It's impossible to sink. If you sit down in the Dead Sea, it's like being on a floating lazy boy chair. But here's what's interesting. When salt is exposed to moisture, the true salt could dissolve away, leaving behind a residue, listen, that looked like salt, but wasn't as good as salt. And my brothers and my sisters, here's what he wants you to understand. Don't look like salt and not be salt. Don't have the appearance without the power. Don't have the form without the function. Don't have the resemblance without the reality. He says, don't look like salt and not be salt. I don't know about you. I hate that half salt stuff. You know, that man, just give me some salt. I mean, if I'm just going to have high blood pressure, just let me have high blood pressure. Man, don't give me that fake salt stuff. Because you got to use five times as much just to get some flavor. You know what I mean? You're just shaking and shaking and shaking. Man, let me just take a little sprinkle of salt and just be done with it, right? Because I don't want the appearance of it. I want the real thing. And God says he wants the real thing from you. Does your workplace feel different because you're there? Does your family experience grace because you're in there? Are you the family member who shows up at the family reunion and everybody wants to talk to you because they know they're going to get a good word and encouragement from you? Or are you the condemnating, you know, you're the family member that's going to condemn everybody? And you just walking around like the sin police. Pointing out everybody's sin and what everybody's doing wrong. Instead of learning how to love people where they are and help them get to where God. Can I tell you something? There are Christians like that I stay away from. Man, I go to a gathering and they come in with that big coffee table Bible under their arms and they start quoting scripture. I'm like, man, let me go to the other room. Man, I don't even want... I'm Tamala Mann. I'm all churched out. I don't want none of that. Here's the third thing. If you're going to live your life to show God's love, you must be visible. You must be visible. You are the light of the world. Matthew 5:14 says, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. Jesus now changes metaphors. He moves from the kitchen to darkness. He moves from preserving to illuminating. He moves from affecting what we touch to affecting what we can do to be seen. See, salt influences by contact. But light influences by exposure. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. He says, I need you to be who I have called you to be. In a world of darkness, in a world of decadence, in a world of despair, this world needs more than ever some Christians who will be light, who will just give a light of hope, a light of love, a light of God's grace. God lives inside of you. Now look at John chapter 8, verse 12. Let's read it together. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Now you say, well, how can I be the light? Not because you generate light, but because you reflect light. Because Jesus loved you and saved you and put his light in you. Now it is your responsibility to let the light that he put in you shine outside of you. You become a reflector of the light. Just like the moon reflects the light of the S-U-N, you and I are called to reflect the light of the S-O-N. This light is shining in our hearts, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we have to let this light shine. We are the city set on a hill. We have to shine. Because for many people, we are the only hope that they will have. We will be the only hope that they see. And your life should be a visible evidence that Jesus changes people. See, when somebody says, I knew you when, that's a great testimony. As long as it's when. Right? Somebody looks at your life and he said, man, you remember when you used to? He said, thank God I'm not what I used to be. Thank God I'm a work in progress. Trying to become all that the Lord wants me to be. He says, don't hide your light because a hidden light defeats its purpose. A light is made to be seen and a light is made to illuminate. Not so people will admire your light, but so they can find their way to the one who is the light. Imagine driving down a dark highway at night and you're looking for some sign, some signal that you're in the right place. A light in the distance, no matter how dark it is, will make all the difference in the world. And my brothers and my sisters, your light can make all the difference in the world for somebody who is in darkness. So let me ask you a question. Where is your light shining? And do you let it shine wherever you go? And if you go someplace where you don't feel comfortable letting your light shine, then maybe you don't need to be there. Because wherever you go, your light ought to be shining. Here's the last thing, and then I'm going to take my seat. Number four, you must be impactful. You must be impactful. You've got to make a difference, y'all. Matthew 5:16, the New Living Translation says, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see. Here it is. So that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. The ESV translation says, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Your earthly living should make an eternal impact. When you let your light shine, you don't let it shine to draw attention to you. You let your light shine so it points to somebody else. See, here's the problem for many of us. We have a light, and then we want folk to admire our light. If I had your 100 watts, I'd turn my 60 watts in. Ooh, where you get that light? You got some kind of light. How long you been having that light? Boy, I wish I knew where to get a light like yours. And God says, your light was never intended to shine on you, to make somebody think a lot of you. Your light is supposed to draw attention to what your light is pointing to, and that's glory to God. He said, let your good works, your light, your good works, talks about those things that are beautiful, those things that are noble, those things that are beneficial. He says, your light should shine to give glory to God. Now, here's the problem that many of us run into. In Matthew chapter 5, he says, let your light shine and it brings glory to God. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus condemns those who let their light shine so they can get glory. And Jesus says, you got to choose who's going to get the glory. In your life, is God going to get the glory, or are you going to try to get the glory for yourself? See, some people seek applause when they should be seeking to give God glory. Jesus says, your good works are part of your gospel witness. Some of you are troubled when somebody says, you know, have you shared your faith? But here's what I've learned. When you learn how to share God's love, sharing your faith just comes along with it. Because when you share God's love and somebody asks you, why are you doing this? You can quickly say to them, because of what God has done in my life. Let me tell you what God has done for me and what God can do for you. So here's the question that I want you to ask and answer for yourself. Are you going to be the salt and light that God has called you to be? It's who you are, but if you keep the salt in the salt shaker and you keep the light turned off, then you can't be who God has created you to be. What does that mean? In this season to serve, God wants you more than saying it to show it. We show it by how we interact with others. We show it by being an example of what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because let's be honest, y'all. There's some Christians who are so mean and cantankerous, I wouldn't want to be a Christian if that's the evidence of being a Christian. Like, there's some folk, you know, come on now. You'd be like, oh, no, thank you. No bueno. Don't want that kind of Christianity. Right. But here's the wonderful thing that God gives you an opportunity to do. He gives you an opportunity to be the kind of Christian that he wants you to be. So notice Jesus' strategy. People see, and then they can glorify. People observe, and then they can believe. Just like Jesus went about doing good, according to Acts chapter 10, verse 38, just like he healed and he served, he touched the untouchable, fed the hungry, comforted grieving families, welcomed children, restored broken people, just like he did that. Jesus says, you have the opportunity to do the same. We serve because Jesus served. We serve because serving demonstrates God's love. We serve because serving opens people's hearts. We serve because serving gives us an opportunity to introduce people to Jesus, to change their life in time and into eternity. So when you hand someone some groceries, we're doing more than just distributing food. We're demonstrating God's compassion. When those young people visited that nursing home and that memory care center, they said to those people, you have not been forgotten. when you mentor a child, whether it's the lunch bunch at Cullen Middle School, it's Project Hope, or maybe you're mentoring your own grandchildren, you're telling that child God has a purpose for your life. When you help a neighbor, you're telling that neighbor there is a God who loves you. Because every act of service becomes a living sermon, and every act of kindness becomes a testimony. And every act of compassion becomes an invitation for somebody to know Jesus. So what's the ultimate goal? To help others who need him to know him, and help those who know him to grow in him so they can help somebody else know him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we bless you for today. We pray now that everything that we've done, everything that we've said has been pleasing in your sight. Pray, God, that your word has found fertile ground in the hearts and minds of your people. Help us, God, to be more than just hearers of your word. Help us to be doers. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Imagine on your way to the Grand Canyon and you get there and you see a sign that says, "Welcome to the Grand Canyon." That sign is pointing you to something greater than itself. Nobody gets out of their car at the sign that says Grand Canyon and think they've arrived, right? That's like going to New Orleans and you see a sign that says "Welcome to New Orleans" and you stop the car on I-10 acting like you on Bourbon Street, you know? No, the sign is just pointing you in the right direction. My brothers and sisters, God calls us to be a sign, pointing people to him. Testimony. What God has done for me, he can do the same thing for you. And watch this. Somebody may look at you and say, "Man, if I had your life, you know, I'd throw my hand in if I had it all together." And they don't know what you've been through. They don't know how long it took you to get where you are, and they don't know what you're going through right now. Because some of us have pretended to look so good for so long that folk don't know how much we struggle. But the wonderful thing is, the God who loves us when we are at our lowest point, his love can get us to our highest place. Amen, somebody. If you're here right now and you've never asked the Lord into your life, would everybody please stand wherever you are? I want to make it easy for somebody who may want to say yes today. I don't want them to have to step over you. But if you're here today and you feel the Lord leading you to come, we want to give you an opportunity to say yes. The men and women who are up front would love to show you privately how to ask the Lord into your life. Bless you, man. Bless you. Amen. Bless you. Bless you. Somebody else. Somebody else. I see somebody coming from upstairs. Come on. Amen. The Lord bless you. God has brought you too far to leave you now. God wants to make something beautiful out of your life. Bless you, man. I see you. Yeah. Came to stand with our sister. Praise God. Somebody else, you're here and you want to say yes to God. Three invitations I want to make today. One, you need Jesus Christ in your life, and you want to come and know him as your Savior.
Here's the wonderful thing about our church. We are an imperfect people serving a perfect God. If you say, I'm messed up, man, you don't know, Pastor, what I've been through. You don't know my story either. But here's what I do know. The God that we serve will love you right where you are, but he loves you so much he won't leave you there. He'll make something beautiful out of your life if you let him. Maybe you're looking for a church home and you believe this is where God wants you to be. We're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. If we were and you join, we stop being perfect. But the wonderful thing is that we're all a work in progress. And we welcome you to come so we can love on you and help you to become all that God wants you to be. Maybe you're here today and God's just been moving on your heart and you said, man, I need somebody to pray with me. I've just been struggling, going through some stuff. And here's what I want you to know. You don't have to go through it by yourself. It's not a coincidence that you're here. It's a God incidence that you're here. And I want you to know there are those prayer warriors right now. If you just said, hey, I need somebody to pray with me. Grab your stuff. Come on down. Somebody will take you and pray with you right now. And it's a no judgment zone. No judgment zone. Whatever it is, we want to pray with you and pray for you. So as the music comes forward and ministers to us, we invite you to come. Come on and come.
My will I give to you. I'll do what you say do. Use me, Lord,
to show someone the way and enable me to say, come on, sing this prayer to the Lord. My storage is empty. But I am available to you. Come on, somebody else. The greatest gift you can give today is the gift of yourself. Come on. Lord, I'm available to you. Come on.
Lord, I'm available to you. My will. Say, do use me, Lord, to show someone the way. Enable me to say,
come on, my storage
is empty, and I am.
Listen, I'm feeling led. I'm feeling led right now. I'm trying to really sense how to say this. But you're here today, and you've really, really been going through. And people around you don't know the extent to which you've been going through. You've been wrestling. You've been thinking about some things you shouldn't think about. The enemy has been busy. And in some ways, it took everything for you to come here today. And I just hear the Lord saying two things. One, I hear you. And then I hear the Lord saying, I got you. I hear the Lord saying, I got you. There's a myth out there that God won't put more on you than you can bear. And that's a lie. No, there will be times that more will be on you than you can bear alone. But how many of you know with God, you and God are the majority? Yeah. You're here, and I just sense God saying, don't leave here without connecting with the body and somebody connecting with you. If you're here today, it's not about, listen to me, this is not about membership. This is about just your spiritual struggle. And God wants you to know you're not in it by yourself. The devil will want to isolate you and make you feel like you're all alone. But listen, what I just described, is there anybody that's ever been in that situation knows what I'm talking about? When you just, you just been in the fight for your sanity, in the fight for your life. And it's just taking everything. And some days you just want to give up. And the Lord said, not yet. And I want you to know you're not going through it by yourself. You don't have to go through it by yourself. If you're here right now, I want you to come. I just want you to come. It doesn't matter whether you're a member or not. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about wherever you are, I don't want you to struggle by yourself. I don't want the devil to have you believing that you got to go through it by yourself. Lord, I'm available to you. Now listen, I've got enough prayer warriors here. I've got enough people who have been in life groups. If you see somebody coming up here and the Lord moves on your heart to come and pray for them, reconnect with them, I want you to move as the Lord leads you. Come on. And enable me to say my storage. Come on, come on. Come on, we're going to sing it one more time. I'm just telling you, you don't have to go through it by yourself. We're here to go through it with you. We'll walk with you. Come on and come. Come on. Lord, I'm available to you. My will. Come on, to show someone the way, enable me to say my storage is empty and I am
continue in prayer, church. Continue in prayer. The Holy Spirit is moving. And He's moving in a powerful way. Somebody's still fighting. Somebody's still fighting. All heads bowed. God our Father, we come right now, realizing that the power of the Holy Spirit is at work. So, Lord, we want to make sure that we give every opportunity for the Spirit to move. So, Lord, right now we release all of the fears, all of the concerns, all of the issues that life has put on us, Lord, and anyone here today that's still struggling, Lord, we pray right now that you show them that the way to a better life is through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the ones that have come, Lord. We pray for every need that they have, that you meet it according to your will. We lift them up to you right now as they continue to come, Lord. We pray that you touch their hearts, you touch their minds, If their mind is troubled, give it peace. If their heart is disturbed, settle them down, Lord. Give them what they need in the name of Jesus. Thank you for this word today that reminds us afresh how we should show our love for everyone. Now, Lord, there are several people here today, and you're the only one that knows every need. Thank you that you're allowing us to meet their needs, Lord. And so we lift them up to you right now, and we ask for your spirit to bless them beyond what we can imagine or think. Let it move in a very powerful way, Lord. Then use us to show your love. Use us to help them along the way. Use us, Lord, as only you can. We thank you for an opportunity to serve. We thank you for an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. And here we are right now, Lord, and we pray for all of these souls right now. We give them to you in the strong name of the powerful name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen, amen, amen. Thank God for that word today. Continue to keep prayer, church. Continue in prayer. Just follow the young man that's holding the sign up. Follow me. You might not know all of the names that came up, but you can see their color. Somebody had on green. Lord, pray for the lady that had on green. Pray for them and continue to pray for them the rest of the day. Amen. Amen. Let's thank God for that word from our pastor. That was a challenging word for us today that reminds us afresh what it means to be a light in a dark world. All of God's children have an opportunity to shine their light. Every child of God has the opportunity to shine their light. So that's the challenge that you have as we leave this place. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord, for that word today. All right, church family, it is time now for the offering. Amen. Well, it looked like half of y'all there. Let's try that one more time.